My name is Dove. I'm one of the pastors here, and today we are going to talk about work. And so I've really been chewing a lot on, especially this passage. Matthew records Jesus saying in chapter 11, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." The yoke is like the what they use to strap oxen up to the plow, the hitching. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think, especially as we're talking about work, I think sometimes we go through a long week, and then we come to church, and we're already loaded down, and then you can get another burden at church. Oh, now that you're here, by the way, here's some more stuff that you need to do. And I think unintentionally, well-meaning pastors have put burdens on people's backs that they were never intended to carry. And I kind of want to apologize for that too. That's not God's plan. I just really appreciate this, that Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you another burden." No, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so, as we talk about work, I want to just kind of begin from that. It is not my desire to add another burden on your backs. And so we're going to talk about our spiritual work. So not only do we have physical work, we have spiritual work. And to look at that, we are going through 1 Corinthians 9 and looking at this higher calling, what we are called to that is just above the norm of life. And I think there's something really beautiful and really inspiring in that, and sometimes really challenging. And so, why don't we pray and look at the work of the Lord in our lives. Thank you, God, for this morning, and just ask that you would lighten some loads this morning. God, I ask that you would take some burdens this morning. I ask that we could be in your presence and hear your voice, and that you would continue to move in our midst. Thank you that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. Thank you that we can learn from you and your ways and find rest for our souls. And we come to you this morning desiring that, desiring to grow. Just pray you'd meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so work. I don't know if that's a four-letter word, or I guess it is a four-letter word. A lot of times the way it works in work is our work, we have all this effort, all these things that we go about, and we use our work, what we do, to kind of measure us, to measure who we are, and to measure our acceptance or our worth. And so if you do really well in school, you're like a student, and you get a sense of worth from that, sense of acceptance possibly. If you do poorly, maybe you don't gain that acceptance, that sense of worth. And it's kind of like this ongoing thing to try to earn it and gain it. And we kind of walk through this. This is the way life is. We walk through this kind of battlefield of what we do measures who we are. And we can carry that into the workplace, carry it through our lives. From the moment we're little and start walking, we start to get it. Oh, wow, you took your first steps. You have gained approval in my sight. You gain some kind of acceptance, some kind of value, dignity. I am worth something because of what I have done. And so it looks like this. The things that I do, and oftentimes the way I look thrown in there, determine my acceptance. Whether I'm accepted with people, to myself, to whoever I want to impress, my dad. Is he proud of me? Who knows, my boss. And we walk through this minefield. And sometimes we carry it over into our relationship with God. And that's what I would call religion. And so religion is this effort to reach God. And so we go through all these things. I'll go to church and I'll give money and I'll read the Bible and I'll I don't know, maybe if I have to, I'll go to small group and I'll do, I don't know, do whatever these things are, and hopefully I will gain this acceptance from God. And He will say, you are worthy. Yes, you are worthy. And now I will receive you. And hopefully we have enough worth, He'll receive us not only to just kind of be with Him now, but get to live with Him forever in heaven. And we're working and striving. And the thing that's so crazy about this is some days we're doing really good, and some days we feel like we're doing really bad. And we just go through this cycle, just kind of like constantly striving and seeking and like, yeah, God really loves me. No, I don't think He cares about me. I've done so well. Oh, I'm a pathetic loser. Just kind of like walking on this, like, you can never gain it. You never reach it. You never are there. And I think sometimes I enjoy that treadmill because it's like, yeah, I'm doing really good. Like, I'm getting A's. I'm like, woo, like, whatever. And then other times, man, this is horrible. Get me off of this thing. And some of the words that are associated with this type of lifestyle is that it's based on performance. Your performance determines your worth. It determines your acceptance, your value. It determines how you are with God. And it's based on what you deserve. It's what you earn. You can take credit for it. It comes with success and accomplishment and failure. And our failures can be such a huge thing in this, because all of a sudden our failure is not just a mistake, but our failure affects our acceptance with God, or at least our sense of that. It becomes this duty, obligations, these like requirements of the law, and it becomes kind of burdensome, this constant striving, and we're never really finished it with it. We never really reach a level where it's like, yeah, in my human effort, I have attained this. I am there. And what God offers us is completely different than this. What God offers us is completely different. Instead of this, Jesus came into our world, into our mess, into our junk and brokenness, into our frailty and humanity, and lived among us. And then He took the burden from us. It was nailed to Him. His blood was shed to take the place of this, to take all our junk and put it on Him, and He bore it and carried it. And our death and our humanity was laid on Him. And then God raised Him back from the dead. He came back to life because death could not hold Him. And the amazing thing is, as we put our faith in what Christ has done for us, we get out of this. We escape this. And as we trust in what He has done, we gain acceptance. Bam! The beginning point in Christ is acceptance. You have been given worth in Christ. Done. You are accepted. You are worthy. You have been made right in Christ. You no longer have to try to earn it. You no longer have duties. And that's kind of scary, because maybe nobody will come to church next week. And nobody's ever going to give money again. But that's the point. That's where we start. Christ took it, and it's been given to us. You are accepted. Well, I didn't do this. Oh, that's okay. Well, I did this. I don't care. You come to in faith. You trust. You receive what He did. Boom. And we start with acceptance. And then from that place of acceptance, we have an opportunity to work. And it's so easy. I've been following Christ for many years, and it's so easy to go back and switch it around again. oh yeah, I'm going to do some things for God. I'm going to work and he's really going to like this. And I don't know why. I guess maybe because it feels good. Like, oh yeah, I achieved something. I did that. And then after a while, I was like, man, this is really horrible. To begin in this place of worth and acceptance is so amazing. You begin there in Christ. Through faith in Christ, I am given complete acceptance from God. I am given His righteousness from faith, not from anything I've done. And then my connection to God allows me and empowers me to be a part of His work. But it's not out of obligation. We are allowed and empowered to walk in that work of God. So some things associated with this relationship with God through Jesus. It is based on grace, not on performance. Grace is a gift I did not deserve and I do not earn. It is given. It is grace. It is because of the completed work of Jesus. It is no longer this, oh, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. His work has been completed. It is granted. You have been made right. You can walk in that. It is good news, which we call the gospel. It is fantastic news. It is a message worth telling every single person on the planet. The gospel. It is unconditional. We get to share in His abundant life. We get to take part in His life. It is salvation. It is eternal life. Because we have been given righteousness, because we have been given acceptance, we can be with God for eternity and be in His presence. It is freedom. It is not the bondage of obligations that we walk in so many other areas of our life. It is freedom. I feel like the worship this morning was speaking of this. Yeah, that freedom. Why would we go back to the chains? I don't know. But we do so easily. And we put burdens on ourselves and on other people so easily. But it is freedom. Paul says in a letter to some people in Ephesus, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." No one can boast and say, "Yep, He accepted me because I was pretty good." Like, nope. And it's pretty crazy if you look, and right after this, Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork," or as we heard yesterday, "masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so our starting point is acceptance, and then from there we're empowered to do God's work. And it's very, very important that we don't switch those. You cannot put verse 10 in front of 8. It is very important that we know our acceptance comes from grace, not by works. And then, you are a masterpiece, created to do good works, which God has prepared for you to do and walks with you in. So that's our starting point. We're going to jump into 1 Corinthians 9 and just kind of look at Paul. Paul's a fanatic. I mean, he says, "I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me." And so he knows what it means to work hard, and he's talking about that, like this crazy labor he does, but he knows his source. He knows what it's from. In 1 Corinthians 9, "Am I not free?" That is a beautiful place to start. Am I not free? Yeah, am I not free? For me, it feels good just to say that a bunch of times. Am I not free? Yeah, you are. Am I not free? Yes, in Christ, am I not free? Yeah. In Christ, I have been given freedom because I'm accepted. Am I not free? Is there anything I have to do? Am I bound? Yeah, you got to go do this. No, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? An apostle means one sent by God. Have I not been sent by God? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Yes, you have, Paul. Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? And Paul's work continues in our lives, even as we're reading what he's taught. Yeah. Am I not free and then empowered to go and do the work of the Lord? So what is this work of the Lord? What is my work in the Lord? Our work in the Lord is to be a part of what is on God's heart, to be a part of what His desire is, to walk in what He loves, because we can be connected to Him, because He's given us that connection. And so what is on God's heart? What is God's work? What does He care about? And what God cares about is people. God cares about people that look completely different than me. People that have crazier ideas than me. People in completely different situations than me. People that are a lot better looking than me and a lot smarter in a lot of things. And to be able to share in that work. And so as Paul goes through and talks about what it means to share the love of God with people, he's talking about not just these people far away, but the people right in our lives, our co-workers and classmates, our neighbors, those people that God has put around us that He loves intensely, cares about, wants to be in relationship with. And so Paul's talking about sharing that. He says, just in this act of sharing what we've been given, it's not like I have to generate something, to share the good news with them. And Paul goes to great efforts to keep the good news accessible to anyone, to not let there be roadblocks. In verse 12, he says, on the contrary, we put up with anything, all kinds of madness, rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. I will put up with all kinds of madness from my neighbors rather than hinder the good news of Jesus coming to their life. I will put up with anything. I don't want to block. I don't want to get in the way of the good news coming to others. In 19, he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. So I put myself in subjection to other people, not because I'm a slave, I'm free, but so that I could be an influence, so that I could share with them, so that I wouldn't be a stumbling block, so that I could help them. He says, I become all things to all people. I become like them. And when I hear this, I think of, I don't know if anybody's read this book called Bruchko. This guy named Bruce Olson, when he was a teenager, I think he was in Minnesota, he felt the call of God to go to South America. And so, as a teenager, he left. You know, I flew down there, didn't know the language, didn't know much of anything, except that he wanted to bring the good news of Jesus to these people. And he really wanted to, when he was there, he started kind of, I don't know, ministering to some people, but there was this group of people that nobody had ever really been in contact with. In fact, they pretty much killed anybody who they came in contact with. And so he ended up getting shot by them and captured and lived with them and was able to bring Christ to them. I just listened to a message on YouTube, but it's kind of long, so I cut it up into smaller pieces. But that even might be too long so that we can, I don't know. Anyways, let's listen to a little piece of it. And so I just think he's a fantastic example of not letting these things about who we are get in the way of the gospel. He doesn't let the gospel be hindered by...
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let's try that again.
I've been in North America now for about 5 days. Come from the jungles of Colombia, South America. I live in the jungles, have lived there for 55 years. I started ministry among one tribal peoples, the Motilones, and now we're ministering in 18 different languages among almost 400,000 indigenous people isolated in jungle areas. I did not go to the Motilone Indians to change the culture or to pacify them. I'm not calling the Motilone savage, and I'm not degrading them because I love them. I live with them. I speak their language more fluent than English. I've come to the Motilones to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was learning the Motilone language. I felt quite comfortable. A medicine man was telling me a legend how a warrior was incarnate into an ant. And he taught the ants how to live in community, a large community house with trails from north to south, east to west. He taught the ants how to grow leaves upon which funguses could be cultivated, which nourishes the ant colony. How did they learn to do this? It took the intelligence of a Motilone who was incarnate into an ant. I got that word incarnate, a marvelous word. Now that the Motilones were agonizing the death of a tribal leader, I said, God has become incarnate in Jesus Christ to walk your trail of life's experiences, to bring you to the horizon, the abode of our Creator. Oh, you're understanding what I'm saying. It's the gospel contextualized within the Motilone culture. Oktabidaina looked to me. He said, do you know God incarnate in human flesh? I said, I do. He walks our trails. I said, he does. He grabbed my hand and said, take me to God incarnate in our flesh. How would you take someone in the 21st century to meet Christ physically? I backed off and I said, I cannot. You killed Jesus Christ. And they thought he must have been an oil company employee whom they had shot. On an occasion while hunting the danta or the tapir, two names, it's a huge animal. It looks like a giant pig. The medicine man broke open a wild cane and turns it into a sharp knife. And with his wild cane, he takes the hide off the danta. And in the ritual, he pulls his hide over his head and down his back. And he gets on his hands and knees and he says, I have become a danta. What did Christ do on the cross? Shed his blood to pull it over our deception so we can come before a holy God. And I said, this is how Christ died. Their word for sin is beguilement. Because of your beguilement, you're separated from God. He has mercy on you because of his shed blood to forgive you. But if Christ is dead, what hope is there for us? They have the legend of a banana stalk. Something of God's character will come out of the banana stalk. And Oktabidaina, now quite challenged to what I'm saying, cut out a portion of a banana stalk from the plantation and cut that banana stalk open lengthwise, thud. And the leaves inside were severed in half, and they unraveled from the banana stalk like pages from a book. I took my New Testament. I said, here's God's banana stalk. It says Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And the Holy Spirit visited the Motilone community. They understood the gospel. God incarnate in Jesus. He shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. His resurrection that we can believe in him. And Paul says, now you'll become a new creature, a new creation. Tremendous. So together as a community, we start growing together spiritually. How do you grow in faith? How does the Holy Spirit minister to your heart? Through the Word. So I began translating the New Testament with the Multilingual Brethren. Now I was very agile in their language. We translated the Gospels. And as we'd read the translation in the evening, a multilone would ask a question after each verse to see if the people will come into conversations and understand what the verse is saying. This is phenomenal. It has never happened in the indigenous world in South America before. It's not happened in Africa. We convinced the African to leave your round homes, which is indicative of the beginning and end, the perfection of God, and we teach the African to live in square buildings. Then we bring them organs so they can play music from the Western world. And these are preambles to becoming Christian. If they don't have the preamble, they'll never understand Christ. Brethren, the Holy Spirit lives and exists. He can live in our hearts. We have to be more conscientious to the people with among whom we live and present the gospel so it's understandable. Christ, who is so tempted and tried as each multilone, that he has overcome these temptations.
Right. So some of you guys that are naturally hear the burdens that I put, like, oh man, now I gotta go to a different country and like share the gospel with, like, natives. I just have really been blessed by that attitude that he has, that it's not about bringing a new culture. It's not that to come to Christ you can't wear a loincloth. Or to come to Christ, you have to play the organ. Or you can come to Christ and wear jeans on Sunday. You can come to Christ and listen to rap music. Or country music. You can come to Christ and be communist. You can come to Christ, but sometimes we put up these barriers. No, no, no. That person's too freakish to me. I can't bring the gospel to them. Or some, there's this wall, and it's about building bridges to people instead of walls. And then the reverse. Sometimes we're so freakish and weird that we build up a wall because of how we are. No, whatever. I'm only gonna dress like this. I'm only gonna do this. I have to do this. And to build those bridges to people. Of like, can we bring the gospel to someone who, a neighbor who, I don't know, who parties really hard late at night next to us, who smokes marijuana or sells it, like some of my neighbors. Can we build those bridges, or are we kind of like, no, God's love is not for that type of person? Or am I so isolated that I can't bring that? And so, as Paul's talking about this, building these bridges, these connections of becoming all things to all men, and to really bring the what God has given us to pass it on. And it's not about making people like us. It's about letting people be who they are with Christ in their life. Because it's a relationship with God. And so Paul's talking about the joy of sharing in God's work. In verse 23, he says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Those blessings of acceptance and life and freedom. To share in those and to pass them on. And there's something amazing when we share, it multiplies. It doesn't diminish what we have. It multiplies. And to me, I think of it, when I was young, my dad was a carpenter. And I used to love going to work with my dad. And my dad was really patient, and he always was able to, like, find a little job I could do to help him. From a young age, I felt like I was a huge help. And I was way more of a liability than I was a help. But I knew, like, man, I get to be a part of what my dad is doing. And then my parents got separated. I didn't get to work with him as much. But as I got older, I got to actually, you know, be a little more involved in what he did. And when I visited my dad, to be able to go to work with my dad and work with him was a joy. Not a, like a, come on, dad, we got to go to work. It was like, man, I get to be in my dad's world and do what he does and loves. And to me, that's the heart of sharing in what God loves. It's not, I go to a separate job, and then I bring my money, here, Dad, here's what I earned for you. It's like, no, I got to go to work with my dad and be a part of his world and life. And not only that, but God gives us power through his Spirit to empower his work, where it's not based on us trying to like, okay, I'm gonna do this for you, God. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it. But to walk in what God has for us. Not that there's no fear ever, but to walk in this is his thing and to be a part of it with him. And there is an amazing reward for our labor. In verse 25, Paul says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And there are rewards in store for us that we have not even the slightest taste of here. And I think a big part of that, at least from my understanding, is the people that God loves. To be in the presence of God with the people that he loves, that the people who have come to him in faith, and to be like, man, my friends, the people that I was able to share a little bit with are here in his presence together. What an amazing reward. A couple years ago when I was teaching at Bowie High School, on Wednesdays we have a lunch meeting called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And one of the student leaders, it's not his name, but I'll just call him Joe, he came in, and he looked a little distraught. He came in and kind of sat down, and he was kind of antsy, and I couldn't tell what was going on with him. So we were about to start the meeting, just kind of mingling around. And then I turned around, and he was gone. I'm like, where did Joe go? And it just felt like it was really on my heart to, like, find him and talk to him. And so I told the other teacher, hey, I'm gonna go look for this guy. And so I left the meeting and I walked out and I went down into the courtyard and I'm looking for him, like, you know, it's lunchtime, there's kids all over. And I saw his brother. I'm like, hey, have you seen Joe? He's like, yeah, I saw him, I don't know where he went. Do you have his phone number? And he gave me his phone number and I called him up. I'm like, hey, I just really wanted to talk to you. Where are you at? Can I come and talk to you? He was like, Mr. Cranston, if you don't mind, I would just prefer to be left alone. I said, give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes of your time. That's it. All I want to do is I just want to encourage you for 2 minutes. I'll leave you alone. And so he said, okay, I'm over by the fine arts. And so I walked over there. I walk up to this guy. And I see him, and he comes up to me, and he just starts crying. And just says, I'm trying and I can't do it. And he's just struggling with lust and his relationship with women. And he came up to me and I just put my arm around him. He just cried on my shoulder and I prayed for him. Just kind of was just like passed on that grace to him in the moment when he feels like he hasn't measured up. And I think it was a little more than 2 minutes, but we both left, and it was to me just like a picture of that just amazing blessing of being a part of what God is doing, just walking in what he's doing. I saw him a couple weeks ago he's going to UTEP at a football game, and he came up to me and gave me a big hug. He's like, Mr. Grandson, what are you doing? And I asked him how he was doing, how his relationship with God was. And just that reward of getting to share in other people's lives is not intended to be burdensome. It's intended to be one of life. All right, so I just kind of want to look at that. So what's your homework? What's the next step? What burden can I put on your back? Just kidding. Hopefully none. I think for a lot of us, it might be to do no work for a little bit, even God's work, to enjoy that freedom that he's given us, to enjoy the acceptance that you have been given, to enjoy that faith that gives you access to heaven, access to God, access to life. And then as He gives us opportunities, walk in them. As He gives you an opportunity to love a neighbor and to just pray for the people around you that you see, as He gives you an opportunity to walk in that and to really care about the people around you, because He does, and to go where He's going. You don't have to manufacture any kind of big faith or manufacture some kind of duty that will impress God, but to just enjoy that He approves of you and accepts you and allows you to be a part of His work, and to stay in that spot and not jump back onto the treadmill and try to keep cranking. And yet I think God has some amazing opportunities for us. Amazing opportunities for us to speak truth and to share love and to share what we've been given physically and spiritually with people around us that He really cares about. And my prayer is that's a joy for us and not a burden that we carry. So, all right. Father God, thank You for the way You are. Thank You that You have made us worthy in Jesus, that we don't have to strive. Thank You that You accept us in Him. Thank You that You have made us Your sons and daughters in Him. And thank You that we have eternal life in Him. And ask You would grow us to really receive and enjoy what You've given us, and to walk in that freedom, and to walk with You and where You're going, and to enjoy You. Thank You that You give us a connection to You and allow us to be a part of You. And so I ask that You would lift burdens here. I ask that You would carry loads. I ask that You would give us joy as we walk in what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.